That was a very pleasing opportunity for all of us, I believe. Very beautiful. You all have a personal background that you're very proud of. In fact, you're so proud of it, some of your relatives have written books about it. My wife's cousin has written 2 volumes about the Brinkman family. And he's gone back into all the heritage and presented a lot of facts about on this side of the Atlantic and being from Germany on the other side of the Atlantic. And it's an interesting read. Today I want to talk about one of the men in the Bible who also has a very interesting background. That is John. John the Apostle. There's other Johns in the Bible, and there's probably a few Johns here, Mr. Quintana. We thank you that we can all look at John the Apostle. When you look at his name in Hebrew, Johann, or in the Latin, in Koine Greek, and see that his name means loneliness, singleness. They think he was born in about 6 A.D. That'd make him 2 years older than Christ. He was one of the 12, and you'll know him from reading in your Bible as the son with his brother James, the sons of Zebedee. Now, in Zebedee's heritage were these 2 boys brought about because of his wife, Salome. You may not have read the word closely or the Bible topics on this topic, on this subject, but she is considered to be the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. So they were cousins, Jesus Christ and James, and the one we're speaking of today, John. Now, when you think of John in that context, there were about 2 years between them, John being a couple of years younger. Just think in your own family about your brothers, your sisters, or your children, how close some of them are. I have 2 that are very close, Clint and Courtney. And those 2 children share a very common youthful heritage. And so you must imagine that would have been the same for John and Jesus or Joshua. Can you imagine how John felt when he found as they were going out of town that his cousin was still back in Jerusalem at age 12 talking in the temple? This young fellow, my cousin, was indeed a special man. Some say he was probably the only apostle not to die of martyrdom. Now, because of his closeness, this unique man, along with his brother James, gives us some interesting things. In Mark 3, the 2 of them are considered the sons of thunder. And they were strong. Strong in their word. Amazing, colorful characters. They're sons of Zebedee, a fisherman, and more than likely successful fishermen. They could have been, because of sons of thunders, very aggressive and maybe insensitive. They were young, virulent, and they knew where they were going if no one else did. On one occasion, when they found that there was an unresponsiveness to the message of Jesus, they wanted to call down fire from heaven. And so you start thinking about John, and you look at his writings, and realize that he started learning at his cousin's feet. And as he was learning, he was taking in something new. And his whole character, his persona had to change from being a person of thunder, sometimes known as a man with wild words, and very, very interested in just pushing his point. Let me call down fire from heaven to consume them. And he had to change. Now, since none of you have to change, you can all tune out now. Well, John learned through his life many things, but one of the most important was humility. John learned humility, and as we look through the life of John, he taught humility. So today we're going to read about this character, John. He traveled a road that kept pointing him to a very narrow path and to the trunk of the tree. And as he was moving towards that trunk, he was reminded, I think, time and again of the foundation and what he remembered as this young man growing up with his cousin and other cousins. And so he learned so many things. Now, John's life can be traced through the five books that he penned. Those are the Gospel, John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he penned Revelation. He put the words of Christ on paper. He didn't write Revelation. He was not its author, but he penned it. He put these words of Christ down. And if we go through these books, we're going to find three particular stages in his development. First, he had to learn some very important truths from his cousin, who was only 2 years the elder. In John chapter 3, as he starts on this book, the first three Gospels being called the Synoptic Gospels, and John writing around 70 A.D., perhaps as many as 40 years, certainly 30 to 40 years after the other Gospels were written. Now, because he was the cousin, and you might have this question, how come he knew so many details? This man had lived beside the man for so long that some of the thoughts that he covers in John, that while they might be years old, have been running around in his mind time after time. And so he was able to put together and probably was taking notes on his thoughts for quite some time. Now, it was a book written to Gentiles, not necessarily the Jewish people. It was written in Greek because that was the language of the day. And we find in John 3, verse 19, that he foundeth this begotten Son of God, as it says in the end of verse 18, that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But if he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made known or manifest, those are the ones that are worked in God. As he walked the earth, he began to see there was a difference between light and dark. While he had thought once about bringing down thunder and storms, lightnings from heaven, this had to change. His mind had to move to a direction with less hostility. And he had to understand that there was light and dark. Now, a few pages forward in John 8, he starts to write now, 70 A.D., about 40 years after the experience of the death of Christ, that what he had learned as he writes this gospel, that his cousin taught truth and nothing else. He only taught truth. So I want you to read with me what he wrote about Christ, the Father and truth. You cannot move from the word that is given to you that is truthful. Well, you may choose, and some have. Your duty is to stay with the trunk of the tree, the truth, the singleness of truth. It says in 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, Then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. You and I can't do anything of ourselves either. Well, we try. I've made goals, some of them attained, but really the spiritual goals are only attained when God is with me. And so I've had to learn to practice an old saying, which is the title of my sermon, dance with the one who brung you. Dance with the one who brung you. When you go to a dance, somebody takes you to the dance. And when you come to the truth, someone has taken you to the truth. You went through a stage where you thought you were learning it all on your own. But you were brought to the dance. You were brought to the truth. So then it says, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. Now that has to be our statement. We must stay with the truth and always do the things that please our Father. He spoke these words, and many believed. And I think I'm talking to a nice room full of believers today. And welcome you on the internet who are believers. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You stay with the truth, you're a student of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Bearing repetition. We've heard it before, and it's so foundational. Stay with the truth. Don't find other paths. Dance with the one who brung you. Now, sometimes I know, because I've been dealing with this for 40-something years, people chase rainbows. I found people wanting to enjoy their fanciful thoughts. They found new truth. And I might then compare it to, do we ever try to find a new dance partner? We have to stay with the one that brought us. And so dropping down to 43, verse 43, John 8, 43. Next reference, John 8, 43. Here John writes about the only two ways, the right way and the wrong way, God's way or Satan's way. This is the understanding that Christ taught to all of us. John learned that his cousin was responsible for teaching only the right way. John 8, 43 through 47. Why do you not understand my speech? Is it because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil. I'll talk about being strong in words. It says, the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Can you imagine this man, John, writing that after about 40 years? Saying, you know, my cousin said this. There is a devil that speaks to lies. When he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if any say the truth, why do you not believe me then if I am responsible for the truth? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. It's so very clear. But yet we find ourselves challenged. John heard and learned. He stayed with the trunk of the tree. And every one of us has been challenged with some new thought from time to time. But you must dance with the one who asked you out to the dance. And so that requires humility. and you don't go after dancing with somebody with a fancier dress or a better looking suit. It's only the outward appearance, and that has to be overcome. You keep your eyes off that dandy and fancy clothier. That's not where you go. Towards the end of John, in chapter 14, verses 22 through 24, again he says there's only two ways. And the simple truth is you stay with the teachings of the Father. That is something you should do, and it is given to you by a miracle. It's a miracle that you are asked to the dance. It was maybe a miracle the first time anybody asked you. And maybe the girl that you asked, guys, didn't think it was much of a miracle. Could that be? So we find in John 14:22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not be clear to the world? Why is it that I understand that I'm the one that gets to go dancing? And Jesus answered and said, if a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. I'm going to give you flowers. And he that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These are so clear that we must follow the one right way. And yet as we pace through the life of Christianity, we'll read something, or we'll, in our day and age, tune into something on the internet, we'll find some pamphlet, we'll find some new thought, our minds go wild, and all of a sudden we've moved from the trunk of the tree. Now, as Christ was dying, he says something very deliberate to Mary, his mother. Of all the souls that could brave to be at his death, Mary was one of them. And evidently, the story goes, John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother there at the foot of the cross, the disciples standing by, whom he loved. Take some time, read about who that is. It is John. John was the only disciple that was there at that moment with Christ's mother. And so this transition had started to take place in his mind, and he said, this guy represents truth, and there's only one truth, and I'm going to be there. So he says to that man, he says, and to the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then said he to the disciple, behold your mother. He asked John to take care of Mary. And from that hour, that disciple, John, took her unto his own home. A very interesting story. Some of you have been there with various health issues in your life, and you've taken in your mother-in-law, your sister, your father-in-law, your father, and you've hosted them in your home for the rest of their lives. That's what John did. Now, just back a chapter in John 18:17, there's all these occasions where Peter, who was also very close to Christ, and who questioned, what does he mean, and asked the guy that was sitting by Christ, whom he knew to be very close to Christ, his cousin John, this man Peter, found in 18:17 a very quick response here. What will the gatekeeper ask you about your student position here, he says. The gatekeeper asked Peter, "Are you one of this man's disciples?" And Peter answered, "No, I'm not." So in the same evening that John takes his aunt to take care of her, Peter, another relative, says, "I don't know the guy." Something very strange happens when we're put to the test, when the rubber hits the road. When the gatekeeper asks Peter about it, says, "No, I'm not part of that guy's following at all." I think the contrast between Peter and John illustrates finally a young man, John, who learned to love the way that Christ taught to love, that understood what it means to be moving from a sacrificial system, and that now we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who come and died for us. And he cements together all of the covenants so that we can look forward to a kingdom. And what the Jews had looked for in the physical Savior for their nation, a king, was wrong. As they still look, we know that we have a king who will return and give to us a kingdom. But we must learn what it is to love and stay in that very narrow way, that very close trunk of the tree. Now, it isn't simply a stain that you say, "Well, I love." You show it by your works. If you love God and if you love your fellow man. Now, using a little thought from the first message, John sacrificed pride and put on the coat of humility. And while the dance there at the foot of the stake or cross was ending, he wasn't looking around for a new partner. No longer was he the son of thunder. Now he became a humble caregiver. "I'll take her. I'll treat her just like my mother." And he learned to take care of someone. No longer was he willing to call lightning from the earth to the earth. So a transition takes place in his life, and we move to point two. John had learned, and now he taught. He learned and taught. And so he learned to stay with the trunk of the tree and not to wander from it. Thinking this whole way through, I was telling Joy this morning, it reminded me of the Drifters tune. "Save the last dance for me." And I want to plant that thought. Who are you going to dance with at the end? In 1 John 2, and this is where the transition takes place, I see in the book Gospel of John, a man who moved into understanding care for mankind and putting God first in everything he did, to now teaching that way. And we see in that in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So 1st John 2, it says, "Children, it is the end of time." Now that applies to the people about 100 years in the future from us. Right? Does it apply then or does it apply now? When will your life end? I've been there, done that. For me, it was very possible that Christ could have returned in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And I'll be hearing a trumpet either going up or staying down. It's the end time. You've heard that an Antichrist is coming. Certainly many Antichrists are already here. That's how we know it is the end of time. There are many people saying that Christ isn't all that we know that he is, that he doesn't represent a kingdom to come and a perfect law that he doesn't understand, that we don't understand is a peaceful time for all mankind, and that we will reign on earth, Revelation 5:10. Most people don't understand that. No, they are, in fact, saying various things so that Christ's covered over. One of my good friends in our congregation over in St. Pete sent an email. He was in one of our major chain restaurants. They're in the middle, $10-$15 plates, using his electronic gizmos to hook up with the internet that was available for free there. And because he was trying to go to the United Church of God's website, that was denied. The Church of God's website is denied in this restaurant, as well as many other, because they will not have religious matters brought into their restaurant. That's something that happened in the last 24 hours. Restaurants are protecting you from religion. Freedom. I think I'll send John Quintana after him. They left us. However, they were never really part of us. And I don't like those words, but they're there. I prefer to say they'll come back. If they had been, they would have stayed with us. But by leaving, they made it clear that none of them were part of us. Strong words. Verse 20, the Holy One has anointed you. And that's why you're at the dance. You're anointed. So all of you have knowledge. I'm writing to you because you know the truth. Not because you don't know the truth. Why would I write to somebody that doesn't know what I know and that I'm trying to tell them to know this? You know that no lie ever comes from the truth. It's one way or the other. 22. Who is a liar? Who else but the person who rejects Jesus as the Messiah? The person who will reject you from looking after your Messiah. The person who rejects the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Everyone who rejects the Son does have the Father that doesn't have the Father either. The person who acknowledges the Son also has the Father. 24, make sure that the message you heard from the beginning. And I want to emphasize your thoughts about that. What was it that turned on the lights? I had a brave call from one of our potential members in another congregation. I forget what day it was, but it's been within the last week. He went to his pastor to explain to him what the pastor didn't know. He wasn't received too kindly. This man is literate in the words of God. And where did that come from? Where did it come from you? Make sure that the message you heard from the beginning lives in you. If that message lives in you, you will also live in the Son and in the Father. Now, I'm not talking about a syrupy, sweet recipe towards religion. I'm talking about a way of life where you practice the Ten Commandments. You boil them down into understanding a way of give. And that you're clear and clean before God all the day long. Because you're living that way of life. And once in a while, daily, You don't. So you repent. You endeavor to change the way you live. In 2 John, just one chapter, verses 7 through 11, it says we're to reject teachers who don't teach what Christ taught. Many people who deceive others have gone into the world. That's verse 7. They refuse to declare that Jesus Christ came in flesh and blood. This is the mark of a deceiver and an antichrist. Be careful that you don't destroy what we've worked for, but that you receive your full reward. Everyone who doesn't continue to teach what Christ taught doesn't have God. And so the definition of antichrist is given there in that verse 8 or 9. If they aren't teaching the ways of God, they aren't there. The person who continues to teach what Christ taught has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and doesn't bring these teachings, don't take him into your home or even greet him. Whoever greets him shares the evil things he's doing. So if I can bring in the paradigm of dancing once again, when Christ returns, will you still be dancing with his foundational truths? The truths you learned from the beginning that are so simple, or will they become so commonplace that you have an opportunity because of your wonderful growth to explore the horizons and to see what else is out there? Or can you stay with the trunk of the tree and be satisfied that that is where the truth is? In 3 John, I just want to read in the first four verses. Here is some encouragement given to Gaius as John writes to him, "Dear friend, I know that you are spiritually well. I pray that you're doing well in every other way and that you are healthy. I am very happy with some believers came and told us that you are living according to the truth. Nothing makes me happier than to hear that my children are living according to the truth." Now in the King James Version, if my counting's correct, truth is mentioned in 3 John 7 times. And it's an interesting way to see how the movement of truth goes through the book. So we're to share that truth. So John learned in the first point what he had to become. And he moved from being a son of thunder to being a caregiver. And once he had learned that, that is what he taught. Stay with the thought of giving care. Stay with the one that you are with. Save the last dance for Christ is how we look then at point 3. John wants us to apply this truth. And when we go through the third point here, we can find them time after again in the book of Revelation that he penned as he listened to the marvelous revealings from Christ. Now, so many things in Revelation are given in, some people think, code. But there's a lot of picture here. And we live in an age where pictures are prevalent. Words are less prevalent. But in Revelation 12, verse 10, it says, stay on track with the basics and don't be led towards ruin. Revelation 12, verse 10. The false teacher will be destroyed. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, power, kingdom of our God, and the authority of our Messiah have come down. The one accusing our brothers and sisters, the one accusing them day and night in the presence of the Lord has been thrown out. So you are accused day and night if you're following the trunk of the tree. The devil's after you. Verse 13. When the devil saw that he had but a short time, and that he'd been thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who had given birth to the boy. Now the woman was given the two wings of a large eagle in order to fly away from the snake to her place in the wilderness, where she could be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. Now the snake's going to go after them. And then it says in 17, the serpent became angry with the woman, so went away to fight with her other children, the ones who keep God's commands and hold on to the testimony of Jesus. You're aware that I sometimes read children's sleepy time books. You remember the one about Jack and the Beanstalk? It was written in England about 200 years ago. Jack and his mother lived together, and he was a young boy, and she was not well, didn't have much money, had very little, and they had one old sick cow. And so that they could be sustained, she says, Jack, I want you to take the cow to market and sell it so we can have some food. So Jack's on his way down the road, and a man says, Jack, where are you going? He says, well, I'm going to the market to sell the cow. The guy says, well, I'll take the cow. I'll trade you the cow for these magic beans. Young Jack thinks, wow, magic beans. Okay, so he goes on his way back home, and his mom says, well, where's the money? He says, well, I traded the cow for beans, magic beans. And she says, well, I don't know what she told him, but it wasn't nice. And she takes the beans and throws them out. And they were magic beans, because in the morning he wakes, there is a beanstalk to heaven. Wow. So Jack goes up the beanstalk, climbs to a land that is high in the sky. I wonder what else is high in the sky. Pie? And there it's the home of the giant. Well, Jack's hungry still, so he asks at the door of the castle for some food. And the woman opens the door and listens to his plight and says, come in, I'll give you something to eat. So she does, and Jack goes in, but the giant smells little Jack. And he says, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones into my bread. He is about to be consumed. Now, sometimes we search for magic beans. When Jack was going up there, he found a bag of gold and the hen that laid the golden egg and other things. What do you find when you climb the beanstalk and the giant shows you things? It says in Revelation 14 that there are 144,000. In the first five verses of this magnificent picture, I looked, and the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and there were 144,000 people with him who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. Then I heard a sound from heaven like the noise of raging waters, and the noise of loud thunder, the sound of heard like the music played by harpists. They were singing a new song in front of the throne, the four living creatures and the leaders. Only the 144,000 people who had been bought on earth could learn the song. Now, I know something you don't know. Maybe I know something. I know who the 144,000 are. Their identity is guaranteed by their purity of staying with the trunk of the tree, following the ways that Christ taught and is exampled by the life of John, the only disciple, it is said, who lived his life without martyrdom. It says in 4, the 144,000 virgins are pure. Ah, that's how Zimmerman knew their identity, their purity. In the same chapter, verse 12, in this situation, God's holy people who obey his commands and keep their faith in Jesus need endurance. Now, it is said John wrote or penned this book of Revelation about 90 A.D., 60 years after Christ was born, that'd make him a real old man. And he penned this book, the words of Christ, that came to him in vision. Pictures that he could not believe and were hard to imitate with the words that he knew. Those that know Greek say he writes in just the basic Greek styles. He wasn't as educated as other writers. He wasn't like Luke. And they say if you really want to get a first book and tutorial on Greek, just start with John. It's one of the easiest books to learn about Greek if you really want to test your skills. And what he says is you need endurance. I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this. From now on, those who die believing in the Lord are blessed. Yes, says the Spirit, let them rest from their hard work. What they have done goes with them. In conclusion, we go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 5, where there is an augmentation of this thought of being faithful and true and enduring. That's what John had to do. It is what you do. It is what I do. Revelation 21:5. The one sitting on the throne said, I make everything new. He said, write this. These words are faithful and true. Truth is singular. And he said to me, it has happened. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give a drink from the fountain filled with the water of life to everyone who is thirsty. It won't cost anything. Everyone who wins the victory will inherit these things. I will be their God, and they will be my children. Remember your roots. What it was like in those first few months when you were learning. It's not more difficult than that. You don't need to find some other wonderful thing to learn and practice. You just endure in those things. You practice to perfection in those things. Stay with the trunk of the tree. Dance with the one who brung you.